Hello, everybody. We'll start our program in about 1 minute.
This is going to be the greatest radio show in the history of the world.
It's going to be lit.
I got so much love for our radio program.
Bickley and Murata.
Welcome to the greatest radio show in the history of the universe.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
Bickley and Murata.
You're listening to the greatest radio show that has ever existed.
Bickley and Murata.
This is the greatest.
I can feel it right now.
The greatest thing ever.
It is.
Dan Bickley.
The greatest ever.
Vince Murata.
You can't get excited about this. You might not be able to be excited.
Bickley and Murata.
Greatest of all time. Legendary.
So is this show.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
Right.
Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
And a happy Thursday to all you Wacky Valley sports fans. Dan Bickley, Vince Murata back in studio. Glad about that.
Despite what Doug Franz told you all morning.
Not real happy that I forgot my earbuds at home, which is really kind of nullifies my joy of being back in studio.
Can I make a suggestion to you?
As long as it's not too condescending.
No, I know you're all about your phone chargers, and they disappear from your bag.
Mm-hmm.
You're all about your earbuds.
And they disappear from my bag.
Maybe get like...
And leave it here.
Get a second pair, maybe?
Ah, look at that.
I'm just looking out for you, man.
Look at that.
I'm just looking out for you.
Sort of like a phone... Now, I haven't had phone charger issues in quite a while.
Well, since the computer cord, the power cord disappeared because your son hijacked it.
Yes.
And that's when you laid the law down.
Yes.
And it's been better since then.
It has been better since then. Yeah, he's kept his grubby hands out of my stuff, which is what I kind of need him to do. Seriously. I mean, the amount of time the kid spends on this computer here?
More than you?
It's very possible.
Which is really saying actually something is. Because you're on that a lot.
I am.
You're one of the few hosts that uses his own computer as opposed to the studio computers. Based on the cleanliness of that keyboard, I don't blame you.
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah, just kind of easier that way. You know, just kind of how I roll. But before we get started today, I saw a story that blew my mind that just because we know that people are the worst, right? Because people are animals.
And animals
are the worst. Story out of New York. Have you read or heard about this subway villain in New York City?
Yes, I have. But it's an unbelievable story.
This guy's goal in life is to disrupt commuters in New York City. He jumps onto trains, somehow gets in the back car and pulls the emergency brake. He's done it now with 740 different train trips. That's a big number. And people in New York, they rely on that stuff.
I have a prediction on how this guy's going to die.
And what would that be?
He's going to be beaten by an angry mob of commuters.
Yes.
Who will have no remorse.
Oh,
and,
none.
And might get, accolades from the city for doing
that. It's at that point now. Because, commuting in New York City, it's a serious deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not like here.
Riding the subway in New York City is an art form. The people who live there, they take pride in how quick and fast and efficient they can do it.
One of the times I visited New York City, that's when I went back to watch the three games of the 2001 World Series on television. But we were staying in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And relied on subways to get around.
Uh-huh.
I was so stressed. Just from, routes, where to catch them, safety, decorum, how do you act as not to stand out as a tourist? Mm-hmm. It was so stressful.
There was a one day many, many, many moons ago in my young, stupid stage when I was in New York City.
As opposed to your older, stupid stage.
Correct. Correct. All that's changed is the age, my man. All that's changed is the age.
Sorry.
I got on the train to go from Times Square to Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And I got on the wrong train. And I ended up in a really weird place on an outdoor platform trying to maneuver my way back. That was not fun. I did not enjoy that one bit.
It doesn't sound like fun.
So if you don't know what you're doing in New York City, subways can be terrifying. So when I got off the air broadcasting in New York City the night of the NBA draft, I asked somebody, how can I get to Brooklyn? How can I get to the basketball arena? Oh, it's easy. Just take this train to this train to this train. And I said, my brain right then just ejected. I'm like, no. And I got into an Uber, and that Uber was 2 hours long. I sat in traffic for 2 hours. I got there 15 minutes before the darn thing started.
Oof.
But I didn't, but I had no intelligence. I have no experience riding the New York City subway. Those who do, they love it. You can get wherever you want. Bam.
Yes.
But you got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, if you don't know
what you're doing. And you got to have guys who are not pulling the emergency brake on the trains.
That's true, too. Yeah, this guy's going to get beaten.
Oh, he really is. You're right. This is worse than robbing a bank. This is messing with people. You know what I mean? He is going to get pummeled if he ever gets caught. Next dude on a New York City subway who's even close to the emergency brake, you know people are going to be eyeing him.
There was a story on Deadspin today that said one rider almost stopped him.
He really?
Right there. I didn't read the whole story.
I got to check that out.
Yeah.
That's, you know... See everything in New York City in the summertime.
New York's most wanted is a guy who's pulling the brake on some.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, start the show, Jarrett. Let's get this thing rolling.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
The Splash is brought to you by Rooter Ranger Plumbing. Plumbers you can trust for any of your plumbing services. Call 888-7-RANGER to get you out of plumbing danger.
Okay, item number one. I'm not sure if my order is going to match your order, Vinny, but we'll get through it. The Cardinals and the OTs, contrary to Doug Franz, they're not going on today.
And we are not there.
And we're not.
We are back at the Auction Community
Yes,
Studio.
We are.
The friendly confines.
Yes, we are. Which is good news because Patrick Peterson's absence now is okay. If you will.
Because everybody else is absent,
because everybody else is absent, too. There's a lot of interesting little Cardinals stories out there. From Kyler Murray and how he has been received. And I think he's been received pretty well. You know what I mean?
I think so. I also have noticed a bit in some of the interviews that we conducted over the 3 days of OTAs that we were there. A lot of compliments, but also a tempering of the excitement. That especially stood out with Justin Pugh yesterday.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
And I do put stock into what guys like Justin Pugh say. Because they don't spit out platitudes. They actually tell you what's on their mind. So I did notice that trend a little bit. Maybe we can get back into that a little bit more.
Nah, that's a good idea. All right, item number two, the Arizona Diamondbacks now suddenly in a nasty losing streak. There's some heavy questions out there. Bob Nightingale threw out the idea of, is now the time to trade Zach Greinke? In advance of the Major League Baseball draft, in which the Diamondbacks have a lot of good premium selections, is this a time for the Diamondbacks to start selling? It sounds preposterous, given how good they were 2 weeks ago. But if you believe, like I do, that this baseball team has got a lower ceiling, then you don't want to waste time and focus and energy trying to win in 2019. They've done that a couple of times and paid for it.
But what a damaging signal of distress that throws up if you're willing to trade your ace in a season where you've already exceeded most expectations and you're doing it like 7 weeks before the trade deadline. You can't. Diamondbacks, I think, have the belief, Bick, that they can compete for a wild card, and you don't abandon that in the first week of June.
Yeah, and here's what I think. I agree with that. I don't think that they think they have a wild card team right now. I think they're looking at the season right now and wondering, okay, what exactly is going on here? As they should, in my opinion. But here's what I think it is with Zach Greinke. If you were to trade him, the only way you could do it is if you got some prize prospects back in return, if it was a good deal for the organization. If all you're going to get is somebody to take his salary, then there's no sense in doing it. Because you've already shed A.J. Pollock, Paul Goldschmidt. You've already let go of all that money. So payroll's not an issue right now.
Mm-hmm.
So don't make it one. But I think that they can't find a trade partner or won't be able to find a trade partner that actually gives them some good prospects in addition to taking on Zach Greinke's salary.
Well, the X factor is Greinke's performance this year, I think, has opened some eyes around the league. I mean, people know what Zach Greinke is and what he's going to give you, but he's been brilliant this year.
Oh, he has.
I mean, outside of opening day, he's been Cy Young quality good. That means something. That wasn't the same as asking whether or not the Diamondbacks should trade Zach Greinke at the deadline last year when he was good, but he wasn't outstanding. Yeah. He's been tremendous so far this year. That's what makes this question at this time a little bit more interesting.
All right, the Phoenix Suns, still there's some fallout or residue, whatever you want to call it, from the Monty Williams hire. Really is a great story that's got a lot of Suns fans excited about what this means. You know, Robert Sarver reaching out to Jerry Colangelo, Monty Williams, and as polished as he was early on, the hope that maybe his stability and his maturity can turn some wayward guys around. And in the light of all that, Rashawn Holmes gets arrested in Miami.
Hey, look at it this way, Bic. The Suns lead all NBA teams in most offseason arrests so far. Now, there might be an asterisk by it because Rashawn Holmes is set to be a free agent. But that's two guys from last year's team that have both been arrested in the last
two weeks in Miami. Rashawn Holmes was on possession of marijuana.
Yeah, misdemeanor charge. Hours in jail and posted bond. A lot less serious, really, in the grand scheme of things than the Josh Jackson thing. But
is it?
Josh Jackson is facing a felony charge.
I know, when you think about it, a felony charge for what? For not listening to a rent-a-cop who told you you can't go in the VIP room. I'm not making excuses for
it. There's a reason why it's a felony.
Well, I know. It's because when you run away from the cops in handcuffs, it looks bad.
Well, and are you really that shocked that there's NBA players in possession of marijuana?
No, honestly? I'm not. The league
doesn't even consider it a drug of abuse.
It's not even a big deal. Not at all, but the Suns do lead the league in players arrested in Florida this offseason.
Where's that?
We're number one.
Where's
baby?
That big foam finger?
That's right. We're number one. Basketball is so great. All right. Also in the NBA, Mike Budenholzer has gotten on the Rip Drake bandwagon because it is out of control. It's completely out of control. We got tweeted at yesterday that the Raptors pay him to do that stuff. That cannot be true.
I didn't research it any further, but why not? I mean, it's working. Toronto won two home games. At least to some degree, he's gotten in the heads of Milwaukee. If your head coach is talking about it on a conference call,
look,
and your MVP candidate airballs two free throws.
So it's not only... So it's... Okay, so you think that it... Okay, all right, maybe there's a point. I guess you could make a point that Drake gets into opponents' heads because... As a fan, he gets to walk up and down the sideline? Other fan gets to do that?
The Eastern Conference Finals has been boiled down to a three-game series, and Game 5 is tonight, the pivotal Game 5, and everybody's talking about a rapper. It's working.
Well, a rapper, not a raptor.
Yes.
That's good. Well done.
Thank you.
And Eric Bledsoe is probably very happy about that because if not, people would be talking about his choke job in this series.
He Eric was Bledsoe. All first team defensive choice today.
Okay. His numbers in this series are I didn't know he had this much Kyle Lowry in him, to be honest with you.
Kyle Lowry's completely outplayed him in this series.
Completely.
Yeah.
Interesting. The NBA rules.
According to the internet, Drake works for the Raptors as a global ambassador, but does not get paid.
I'm guessing those courtside tickets are comp, though.
And he was gifted a $769,000 jacket. They do the...
What? There's not a jacket on this planet that's worth that, unless Elvis wore it.
Diamond encrusted.
You're kidding.
This story gets more and more ridiculous by every fact that comes out.
Like you said, man, it's always the rich, famous celebrities who get good stuff given to them for free.
The more money you have, the more stuff you get for free. The less you have, the less you get.
Yeah, right. That's the laws of America. What a country. All right, did I leave anything out, Vinny?
No. And in fact, our orders even matched.
That is a...
We're so in line.
That is a minor miracle.
I think it's more than minor.
Okay. I got that. There's a study out there. We're going to get into at some point in time that kind of gives us really low grades as an NBA city. I'm still trying to wrap my head around what this study is trying to conclude and trying to assume. But they've got Phoenix ranked 30th among basketball cities for fans.
What a shocker.
I get, yeah, I mean.
Was the name of the study entitled Piling On?
Piling On Incorporated.
Piling On, colon.
Yeah.
Whatever other gobbledygook you want to fill this headline with. I mean, big deal. Who conducted this study?
Wallet
Hub?
What is WalletHub.com?
Yeah, exactly.
Gobbledygook. The top five cities for basketball fans.
Hold on. I haven't looked at the top of the list. Let me guess, okay?
Okay.
Oakland, California.
They're number three. Mm. Ding.
Boston, Massachusetts.
Ding, number one.
Let's see. Toronto. No? Milwaukee? San Antonio?
Number four. So you've got two and five out there.
L.A. still probably ended up on the list.
L.A. number two.
Yeah, because you know the Lakers fans are thrilled with the way things are happening.
Right, right.
How much time have we spent on this study already? Like a minute and a half?
Salt Lake City at number five. Okay, I'm sorry. The best performing NBA teams plays into it. So how good your team is, that's obviously weights this thing. They weight in best performing college basketball teams in the periphery. And we get high marks there because Tucson, Arizona's ranked five. For the best college towns inside NBA markets.
Tucson is not an NBA market, and U of A is at the lowest point they've been in 30 freaking years. How stupid can this study get?
Okay, here are the best performing college the cities in the NBA with NBA teams with the best performing college basketball teams. Spokane, Washington. What team are they talking about, Vinny?
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
Lawrence, Kansas.
What NBA team is...
In Kansas. What NBA teams in Kansas?
I'm done.
Moraga, California. What college is in Moraga?
St. Mary's.
It's Moraga!
How do you know that? You're amazing.
I know. I follow the sports a little bit.
Sorry. I follow sports as much as anybody. I didn't know where St. Mary's was located.
Now you have to
Good on you, dude.
You have to finish off the top five.
Charlottesville, Virginia.
We know who's there.
Uh-huh.
The national champs.
Yes. And then Tucson, Arizona. We know who's there.
This might be the dumbest study ever.
Worst performing college basketball teams, 286, Flagstaff, Arizona. So NAU weights down our basketball experience. This is pretty stupid, isn't it? Then there's the lowest average ticket price, highest average ticket price. We're not really anywhere in those lists. Yeah, I'm going to try to make sense of this.
Yeah, good luck.
Least accessible NBA stadiums, Phoenix, Arizona, number 23. What does that mean? Least accessible.
Sometimes the doors are locked.
The doors are locked from May till June.
Least engaged NBA fans. Phoenix, Arizona, 26th. Most engaged NBA fans. Miami, Florida, number one. Right. Right.
I don't know how else I can express my
displeasure
with the subject.
I know. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, let's move on then.
I always thought the most engaged NBA fans were the Kardashians. Because they're always engaged to NBA players. I heard they broke up.
One less hookup in the Kardashian family. Ben Simmons is now Kardashian free. Kardashian / Jenner free.
Good for him.
I predict he will make a three-pointer very soon.
That's pretty funny.
All right, yeah. Now, week one of OTAs wrapped up yesterday. We were out there. We mentioned this in the splash pick. We had an interview with Justin Pugh, and look, not surprisingly, Kyler Murray is the story of Arizona Cardinals OTAs and this offseason so far, and everybody's clamoring for more information on his early performance. Here's what Justin Pugh said about his rookie quarterback yesterday here on Bickley and Marotta.
Obviously, he still has the way to go. I mean, like, you earn respect by the way you carry yourself, the way you handle yourself off the field. He's been here for 2 weeks. We still have a ways to go in terms of that. And he has to keep proving himself every day. He didn't come in here, and I'm not just going to say, all right, this guy is, let's put a gold jacket on him. He's a Hall of Famer. Right. You know, he's got to go out there and he's got to earn it. He's got to earn the respect of his teammates. That's not given in the NFL. You got to come in here and you got to earn that. And he's starting out on the right foot. He's got to keep going. He's got to keep progressing and keep getting better and better every day.
Now, we had a little fun with a story earlier in the week during OTAs, Bick, about Kyler Murray bringing in, what, 6 boxes of donuts and a bunch of breakfast sandwiches and milk for everybody to enjoy. And you might say, oh, big deal. Guy just signed a massive contract. He already had a little money in the bank from that A's contract.
He's already
a
millionaire.
Signed.
Yeah.
Who cares? But to hear Justin Pugh say, yeah, he's the number one. He's done things that a lot of people haven't done in football. But for him to come in with that attitude, to do little things like that to earn the trust of his teammates, that goes a long
completely
way.
Agree. Completely agree with it. It's one of the victories of OTAs, if you ask me. Not so much Kyler Murray throwing the football, because I've heard some good things. The players have been very impressed at how fast the ball comes out, as you think they would. He's got a, if not an elite level arm, it's not far from it. So you would hope that him throwing the ball is impressing people. The bigger thing is just the how are you presenting yourself? How are you being received as a dude, right? Because you're replacing a guy that, for all his failures, Josh Rosen at least earned the respect of the room for taking that beating last year. That's, tell you what, I've covered football long enough to know that the guys who get put in positions, quarterbacks behind bad offensive lines, running backs behind bad offensive lines, middle linebackers who never stop trying to make plays, guys who really lay it all out there for the team, get a level of respect that is just, you can't violate it. And Josh Rosen won a lot of that respect last year just by continuing to absorb those hits, play behind a daffy offensive system, all that stuff. So Kyler Murray had to come in and at least be a good dude. And I think that's one of the victories of OTAs. Patrick Peterson, one of the failures. So Kyler Murray, one of the victories.
Through week one, and look ahead to week two. Next week, after the Memorial Day holiday, the Cardinals will get back at it on Wednesday. We'll be out there again for week two of OTAs. But the question remains, what's going on with Patrick Peterson? Is there any reason to believe that because it's week two of voluntary OTAs that the chances of his attendance are any greater? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think
so. No,
you know, this is me speculating.
No,
I've got
right.
no inside information on this at all. I'll be surprised, thoroughly surprised, if Patrick Peterson steps foot at that facility before the mandatory minicamp.
I and maybe this is, and I totally agree with you. I think this week is confirmation that divorce might be inevitable. And I hate to say that because, you know, I'm on Patrick Peterson's side in this, but to me, you can't come out at your foundation and say you've got a great relationship with the Cardinals and make it seem like everything is going to be okay, because your foundation's got an event, and then just not show up the next week. I don't think that's cool. Okay?
I mean, it would have went a long way for Patrick Peterson to even be in attendance without practicing, which we're seeing a lot of other premier players do.
Yeah, just show up. And
now, you run the risk if you do that. I can imagine a lot of players will see the stars of the team sitting out and go, well, talk about creating a separation in a team. Why don't they have to participate if they're here?
Yeah.
So I can see it both ways, but I think that would be a better result than what we've seen with just absence and really radio silence on his part.
I was looking into this a little bit last night, and I here's what I think is going on. I don't know this to be a fact, but here's what I think is going on. I think Patrick Peterson is going to get over the suspicion that somebody close to him or somebody in the organization dropped dimed Adam Schefter and pretty much embarrassed him entering the weekend of his foundation's event. And he should get by that, because I don't think the Cardinals would stoop that low. But I do believe that the request to restructure the contract might have been in or surrounding a attempt to extend his contract. Because that's, as it was explained to me, that is the only real way you can restructure this contract to make him lose less money now.
Yeah.
Is to extend him. And I think the Cardinals said, no, we're going to table this for now.
All right, let's say that happened. And that's the reason for the feelings of Patrick Peterson toward the organization, even though he's said otherwise.
Right.
Are you a believer in the saying, time heals all wounds?
I am.
I'm not.
You're not?
I think for a lot of people, that's the case. I know people that hold grudges for absolutely zero reason. I just finished up season two of Cobra Kai, and those two guys have been at it for 35 years, and it's still going with a cliffhanger going into season three.
I forgot who said this. Somebody just said, he was quoted as saying something to the extent, I forget everything but a grudge.
Yeah.
There are people like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
We don't know.
Grudges are so, they're so damaging. You know what I mean? What? No, they really are.
No, I agree completely.
They really, really are. I mean, we all have people who have wronged us. And we all have people we have wronged, right? It's life.
I usually get to the point to get better. Where I let the grudge go, but I'll be the first to admit, some linger more than others. And I got one right now that I don't see going away ever, quite honestly.
I might have a couple myself.
Yeah. Have you subscribed?
After all that, you guys...
Come on.
No, I said I don't believe in time heals all wounds.
Heartfelt speech.
That's a joke. I do believe... No, it tears you up inside. There's nothing good spiritually, psychologically, any of it that comes from holding grudges longer than 6 months.
Have you subscribed to the Bickley and Murata podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Bickley and Murata podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealer. Coming up, is Drake and Mike Budenholzer's head, or is the Bucks coach just jealous that he doesn't have a personal masseuse? We'll get into that next. Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Fans on whichever teams come out on the wrong side get disappointed when they lose a couple games. And same with us. We lost a couple, and our fan base was upset. It's just kind of part of the show.
Toronto Raptors head coach Nick Nurse, when asked about Drake being on the court during Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals, Drake, the rap superstar, the hip-hop superstar, Toronto Raptors super fan, who's got front row seats and patrols the sideline like he's a member of the coaching staff, carte blanche, with no warnings, no repercussions, or anything. So it doesn't surprise you that Nick Nurse kind of softened his language. He also said he didn't even realize he got a shoulder rub from Drake until he saw the videotape of it. He was that in tune with the game.
Okay. Yeah, whatever. It's to me, this is Adam Silver in the NBA really should step in, because I don't like the look of this story one bit. And I would say that about anybody, because it's just wrong to let a celebrity fan have carte blanche of a sideline and to have him come up and stand behind the head coach. It's bad enough that coaches do so much of that pacing and screaming. You know what I mean? At least for me, in terms of aesthetics. And I know you, as a guy who sits courtside, these guys are in front of you, blocking your line of sight all the time. I think in the case of Drake, though, this is something where a Eastern Conference final is being overtaken by the actions of a fan. And that's not cool.
Yeah, this has been a pretty level series. It's been entertaining. You've seen both of the marquee players in Kawhi Leonard and Giannis really have good games and impact their teams. Like I said in the first segment, Bick, it's down to the best of three to face the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals. And here we are talking about a guy who has no business doing what he's doing, but there's no crackdown because I think of the level of celebrity he's reached.
And the amount of young fans that he has.
Like him or not, he's one of the biggest stars in the world. And the NBA probably secretly loves the fact that he's that front and center because it puts a different set of eyes on him. But
that's a good point.
Mike Budenholzer, the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, on a conference call, said, quote, "I will say again, I see it in some timeouts, but I don't know of any person that's attending the game that isn't a participant in the game, a coach, I'm sorry, a player or a coach that has access to the court. I don't know how much he's on the court. It sounds like you guys are saying it's more than I realize. There's certainly no place for fans, you know, and whatever it is exactly that Drake is for the Toronto Raptors, you know, to be on the court, there's boundaries and lines for a reason. And like I said, the league is usually pretty good at being on top of stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Except they haven't in this case.
And I never quite put that together. And I guess that makes perfect sense, because the whole key to the rise of basketball is just their demographics and their incredible dominance on social media of the other major professional sports. Yeah, they probably are going to tread carefully around Drake. Last thing they want probably would be to rein him in, force him to leave, and then he starts burning the NBA in music songs and lyrics. Right?
Yeah. I know it's one of those things that
I think it's a bad look, man.
Taking attention off of, yeah, the game. Budenholzer went on to say also, you can't help but occasionally see Drake just going into timeouts, in or out of timeouts, whether he's encouraging or cheering for Toronto. You know, trying to talk to referees. To say I don't see it at all would be inaccurate, but to say I give it much or any thought, you know, it's the same answer, same mantra. You do give it some thought.
Of course he does.
He's in your kitchen.
Right.
But it's also like, this is different than most other celebrity fans. Like, a lot of people are going to be, well, Jack Nicholson is with the Lakers. Jack Nicholson stands at, you know, sits in his chair and watches the game.
And watches the game.
Or sometimes, you know, screams at the refs, but he doesn't go into the huddles.
And that's why this Drake act bothers me. If this was super fan kind of stuff, I wouldn't be as critical. But this is a look at me. This is an attention gathering device for Drake. You can tell just the way he starts stuff. I mean, he's gotten into verbal altercations with marquee NBA players.
He did it the other night. Well, it was one-sided because Giannis didn't really respond.
Yeah.
But you are yelling at the future MVP.
Yeah. And almost doubling over in laughter when he airballs a free throw. Okay, he misses. It's funny, but it's not that funny. So I think Drake's doing this for his own image. I think the Raptors like it because he's got a billion young fans. I'm sure the NBA does as well, but they got to rein this in.
Budenholzer also said, you know, a reporter asked, hey, is there any way you can retaliate with one of your own celebrity fans? He said, quote, maybe we can get Christian Yelich to swing a bat as they go to their timeouts or something like that. The article coming out of Milwaukee also say Budenholzer didn't say if he's a fan of Drake's music, but according to reports in 2015, the then Atlanta Hawks coach attended a Drake show with players Jeff Teague and Damari Carroll.
Wow.
Like, yeah, I bought tickets to your show, and this is how you're repaying me?
Right, exactly.
Thanks a lot.
Right.
I appreciate it.
That's crazy. The series, though, it's now also, Eric Bledsoe has to love that the attention has been placed on this controversy, because Eric Bledsoe is flaming out once again, okay? Some of these stats were just mind-blowing to me. 7 of 40, 17% on wide-open threes in the playoffs. According to NBA's data, meaning a defender is not within 6 feet of him, and he's 7 of 40.
Wow.
Okay?
I mean, he's not been a great three-point shooter during his career. Certainly not that bad, though.
He is 1 for 12 in his career on shot attempts to tie the game or take the lead in the second half of a playoff game. And the lone make is a third-quarter layup against the Boston Celtics in the last round. He is 0 for 8. On such shots in the fourth quarter or overtime against the Raptors in 9 clutch playoff minutes this postseason, when the game is within 5 points in the final 5 minutes, he is 0 for 6 from the field with 1 turnover, 0 assists, 0 rebounds, 0 steals. He's practically disappeared in close playoff games.
I think one of you said yesterday that at no point in the last couple of years have you missed Eric Bledsoe on the Suns.
That was Vinny.
Is that for real? Because he has been really good with Milwaukee, not in this playoff run, but you don't think that if he would have stayed, it would have made us
obviously far better than what they have. And there was a time where I was really excited about him, but the last year plus of just him watching dribble all the air out of the basketball and concentrate on getting fouled instead of taking a good shot.
Money motivated player,
frustrating player to watch.
Yeah, I'm not. I've never been a fan. When the trade was made, I thought at that time in real time that this is going to be the beginning of Ryan McDonough, the rock star GM, which is the way he was described to me before when he took the job in Phoenix by some really good NBA people. And I thought that trade when he pried Eric Bledsoe out of the Clippers, I thought, yep, that's a rock star move right there.
It was,
and things just got derailed, and he's not the fully aware kind of player that he's not a great facilitator, first of all. Not bad, but he's not, it doesn't come naturally. The pounding, the dribbling, all that stuff, the lack of clutch performances, the willingness to put the Suns what he put them through over that first contract deal, which made Ryan McDonough freak out and then go and bring in extra point guards.
Mm-hmm.
That was unconscionable. You just don't do that to an organization. But this is what we're seeing now. And this is why people can't get with Rich Paul. People can't get with LeBron. They're turning players against teams. And as a result, they're souring fans. And that's not a cool thing to do. But that's what Rich Paul does.
Yeah.
Turns players against teams. Turned Eric Bledsoe into a bad guy against Phoenix many years ago. Did the same with Anthony Davis in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. That's what he does.
That's not the mark you want to leave on the league,
no,
in my opinion.
No.
By the way, in the current situation for Eric Bledsoe, he doesn't need to snap out of this slump for the Bucks to get past the Raptors. They got enough at the point already.
Yeah.
George Hill and Malcolm Brogdon mm-hmm. can handle that. He can shoot the way he's shooting, and they could still get to the finals. Now, if they want to beat Golden State, they need Eric Bledsoe to do more than he's doing. You can listen to the Game 5 tonight. We're going to join it in progress after Burns and Gambo here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, at 6 o'clock. Join Burns and Gambo tomorrow at Chandler Harley as they kick off the Memorial Weekend Freedom Event for your chance to get exclusive deals courtesy of Chandler Harley-Davidson. Plus, we'll be giving you the chance to win D-backs and Phoenix Rising tickets while on site. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details. Coming up, would a minor league call-up lead to Moss offense for the Diamondbacks? Huh? We'll get into that next. Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta.
Right around that corner.
Yeah?
There is a sandwich shop.
Right?
They sell meatball sandwiches.
Okay.
Best I've ever tasted. Would you go get me two?
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Utah.
What?
Give me two.
Bickley and Marotta.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, I think when you're trying to link things up, you got to have eight guys, fighting together, and hopefully we figure some things out late in the game that'll translate up in San Francisco. We got an off day tomorrow. We got to regroup the troops. We got to find a way to make it better. There's no doubt about it. We're all frustrated. We know this game's hard, but this is a very, very talented group, and I'm going to bet on them.
Torrey Lovello, manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, following a 5-2 loss to the Padres that completed the sweep for San Diego, three games at Petco Park. Diamondbacks have now lost five in a row. They have dipped into third place with that loss to the Padres in the National League West. And that was courtesy of Fox Sports Arizona. Lovello talking about the offense, which continues to struggle. Two runs in that game, only five runs in the series total.
Yeah.
As a team, the Diamondbacks batted 170 against the Padres, 16 for 94 with 29 strikeouts. Only five extra base hits. Only one of those five, which was Eduardo Escobar's sixth-inning double yesterday, came with a runner on base. So there's a lot of things stacking up against them offensively. You've got the phenomenon of players that were hot cooling off.
Uh-huh.
Certainly, Ketel Marte, Christian Walker fall into that category. You got a guy who was producing, now going on the DL, and Wilmer Flores. It's not good right now. There's no other way to slice it, and I know I'm stating the obvious, but the Diamondbacks' offense flat out stinks.
Yeah, look,
right now.
It does, and I don't think this has been a long stretch of play. This baseball team peaked at 20-13. That was their best record, 20-13. There, you do the math. They've been 5-12 ever since, and now they got a 5-game losing streak. Yeah, this is a correction, I believe, and it's I don't think this is a team slump. I just think this is a third or fourth place team kind of coming back down to earth here. The question becomes now, what does it do to their planning and what they're going to do and what they're going to do with some of their assets? Because I believe that it's sitting there in 2013, you're like, okay, this could be a playoff team. So what do we need? We need a pitcher. We need one starting pitcher. All right, let's hone in on that guy. And then we'll get Jake Lamb back and our offense will have some pop and we'll be good to go. Now, it's a question now where you've got to be really realistic here and be cutthroat about this. Just because you got off to a 20-13 start doesn't mean you need to go chasing windmills again, like this organization has done. So it's going to be a tough call. They're not making it today.
It was a tremendous Don Quixote reference.
Thank you very much. Yeah. The author was
Cervantes.
De Cervantes. Yeah. Miguel De Cervantes. Very good. Look at you. Okay, so
I feel like I've redeemed myself after my Vinny Joe trivia.
That's right.
Lack of contribution yesterday. You carried me.
Okay, so it's they don't have to do anything yet, but it's just it's going to affect the way they have to think about what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's be honest here, are they going to get Zach Godley right to the point where he's a plus starting pitcher in Major League Baseball?
I mean, there's not really any data or trends from this year that would suggest that. I don't think.
I don't think so either.
But the Zach Greinke question, it came up in the splash.
Yep.
Zach Greinke's pitching arguably his best baseball as an Arizona Diamondback now in his fourth season with the team. The team trending in the wrong direction. Do they look like a legitimate playoff threat? No, currently they don't, but they are 2.5 games out of the second playoff spot right now, the second wild card spot in the National League behind mm-hmm. the Braves. If they truly have belief that they can compete once some players come back from injury, and they can snap out of this offensive funk, they still might have decisions to make. Bob Nightingale's a baseball writer for USA Today. He's got a lot of insight into the Diamondbacks. He joined Doug and Wolf this morning on that very question. Do the Diamondbacks need to trade Zach Greinke at the deadline?
I don't think they have to, but I think they want to. If they get something good for return, do it now. You know, if not, you can still, talk, to everybody else, of course, and during the winter to all 30 teams. But I think, hey, if the team wants this guy for the pennant race, now's the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, they've already braced themselves. If they were really trying to win, obviously, you don't trade a Paul Goldschmidt. You don't, let Corbin and Pollock walk away. So, if you can trade a when you trade a Goldschmidt, you can certainly trade a Greinke.
Here's the way I see this, Bick, on this question. I think if the Diamondbacks, to use Bob Nightingale's quotes as the basis of what I'm going to say, if they traded Zach Greinke well before the deadline, I think you're adding on to the level of disgruntled fans that you gave birth to when you traded Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, yes.
If you do it before the deadline, before it's abundantly obvious that this team can't compete for a playoff race. Or a playoff spot.
Look, I've been out and about here recently. I feel this and I've said this to you guys privately. I feel this whole story kind of waning. And I think the belief in fans, from what I can gauge, and this doesn't apply to everybody, so please don't think I'm making a broad-based analysis about you and the listening audience if you are tuned into every pitch of every game. But I think that when teams struggle offensively, that they become even more boring to watch than baseball can be on its best night. And then when you start losing, so goes the hope. And then you start looking at what are the answers, and you see a team that's flawed. I just don't. I think this is part of the equation. Now, all this baseball changes in the summer around here. It becomes sort of a diversion, if you will, mm-hmm. a good chance to get indoors and do something. And that's, if you don't have a good team, that's all it's going to be. But they've got to be cutthroat about this, because if you committed to a path that included trading Paul Goldschmidt and losing AJ Pollock and losing Patrick Corbin, you got to let this thing grow. You can't now artificially try to grow this thing for 1 year success, in my opinion. They've gotten into a lot of trouble chasing playoff berths they did not deserve to be chasing.
But we also, before the season started, we also talked about how damaging it could be for the Diamondbacks as an organization to adopt the "we're tearing this thing down and we're starting from square one" mentality. You can get away with that in some markets. I am not convinced that Phoenix, Arizona is that market. I'm just saying. So I think, if you get closer to the deadline and it becomes more apparent that this team is not wild card ready or wild card worthy, you want to trade Zach Greinke? Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Hopefully in that time, Zach Greinke continues to pitch the way that he's pitched. But for now, I'm trying to exhaust every possibility I have as an organization to try to get this thing right. And that includes a call-up. You know what? It might not be. And I know the Diamondbacks have said they want somebody that they call up from the minors to be able to play every day. I love Christian Walker. He's struggling.
He is struggling.
I don't think he's that important to the lineup now. Where you lose that much from taking him out of the lineup and putting him on the bench as a late inning pinch hit option, and he's been great late inning situations.
But
see what Krohn or Tomas can do, and maybe you catch lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about when we talk about guys coming back down to the middle. I would not be surprised if this kind of happens with Merrill Kelly in the next month or so. if he starts getting hit.
Well, yesterday was certainly probably his worst start of the year, probably.
And I think there's more of that to come. So I think there have been a lot of good starts for a lot of good for a lot of guys on this team that are going to kind of taper off a bit. And you not only not be surprised by it, but you just can't be fooled by it.
Yeah, off day today, D-backs in San Francisco to start a weekend series against the Giants tomorrow. Coming up, we'll talk Cardinals and NFL. Kurt Warner, Pro Football Hall of Famer. He'll join us next. It's Bickley and Murata, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.